Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of heaven." If a person genuinely accepts the Lord into his or her life and realizes who he is, he will never look back. Now, I say genuinely because some people say, "Oh, I accept the Lord." And it's a very surface statement. They're not serious about it, and maybe they haven't. It's got to be a genuine commitment to Jesus in your life. Now, who better to commit to than Jesus? And if you really accept the Lord in your life, you'll never look back. You will never backslide. I would like to briefly discuss the character and personality of the Lord Jesus and all that he means to us, as we sang this morning. How he could affect and change someone's life, and only he could. A line from the song, "Then Jesus Came," the last line says, "For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay." When Jesus comes to stay. The thought today is, who have we accepted into our life? What is our perception of him? If anyone has not seriously accepted Jesus into his or her life, I would say that you haven't really lived yet. If you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, you haven't really lived yet. Dylan, maybe we should move this close. I'm not sure how well they could hear me. Okay. He's more than wonderful, as we sang. He's more than amazing, totally awesome, undefined, indescribable, mind-boggling. That's who Jesus is. And we could, at best, only begin to scratch the surface of the awesomeness of Jesus and what he means in our lives. So what is our perception of Jesus? We can introduce this topic with the words in Psalm 45, verses 1 and 2. "My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever." When you study Jesus, your heart and mind overflow with the thought of who he is. Your heart and mind, believe me, cannot contain him. No way. What about the qualities of God and the infinite greatness of Jesus? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." I want to read to you. You can turn if you want. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. I'll give you a moment to get there. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, and then verse 19. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Isaiah chapter 9, a very familiar verse that is read at Christmas time. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I love when it says the government will be upon his shoulder. You know, all the turmoil, the wars that are going on now, Iran, Ukraine is still going on. We know that Jesus is coming back in his millennial reign. There will be a period of peace, 1,000 years of peace on this planet when Jesus comes. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There's going to be no end to his reign. Bless the Lord. It's wonderful. I'm going to read to you Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 11 to 16. Revelation chapter 19 and verses 11 to 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in the mid-heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat of the flesh of the kings and of the flesh of the commanders of the and of the flesh of the mighty men and of the horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and men and of slaves. Okay, and we'll stop. Actually, I'm going to read 11 to 16. I should have read the verses before. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with the rod of iron. And he treads upon the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh there's a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus leads the armies of heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 tells us, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What about Jesus as co-creator? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. See, Jesus is all over the Bible, not just in the New Testament. He's in the Old Testament, co-creator, prophecies of his coming, pre-incarnate visits. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew name for God in this verse is Elohim, which is plural and refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was present during creation as co-creator. He created and held stars in his awesome hands, and those same hands were crucified for us, the love of Jesus. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us, notice us, plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image and after our likeness. Jesus was involved in creation. All creation is subject to the authority of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 13 reads, Surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. On the microscopic level, even tiny viruses must respond to the name of Jesus. Each individual atom must respond to the name of Jesus. We don't know how much power is in the name of Jesus. It is beyond our minds. We don't know how much power. The power in the name of Jesus is far beyond our wildest imagination. The power of the Almighty God is in the name of Jesus. Remember that when you pray to Him. The power of the Almighty God is in the name of Jesus. And speaking of the qualities of Jesus, what about the extreme humility in Jesus? In all His infinite greatness that we have been discussing, He humbles Himself. He came to earth, He humbled Himself. He became a servant to man. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8 read, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus left the incredible, unimaginable beauty and glory of heaven, His throne, the worship of many thousands of angels, removed His glory, His majesty, and became a man and a servant to man. Now, usually the servant serves the greater, right? Well, in this case, the greatest serves the lesser. Only God would do something like that. He humbles Himself. He decides to make Himself of no reputation. And speaking of humbling Himself, Matthew 13, verse 55, Jesus was referred to as the carpenter's son. Not even His own identity to say, no, Jesus the Messiah, the carpenter's son. Jesus, talk about humility. John 13 records He washed the disciples' feet. And feet weren't nice in those days. They walked in sandals, in mud, and all the dirt. They didn't have like sidewalks and stuff like we did. Dirty feet, and Jesus washed them, including Judas's feet, who would betray Him. And Jesus knew that Judas would betray Him, and He still washed His feet. The love of God, the love of Jesus. In His humility, Jesus allowed man to judge Him and to condemn Him to death, to the most horrible death, so that we could be saved from an eternity in hell. He could have stopped all His suffering, right? He's God. He could have stopped all His suffering, but He didn't. How come? Because of us. Incomprehensible, most awesome, mind-boggling, infinite love of Jesus. What about the Jesus' effect on people? I want to read to you Luke chapter 24 and verses 25 to 32. Luke chapter 24, 25 to 32. "Then He said to them," this is when Jesus spoke to the two disciples going to Emmaus and they didn't recognize Him. "Then He," Jesus, "said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered, and to have suffered these things, and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them." Now Jesus, speaking to the two going to Emmaus, refer to them as fools and slow of heart. And down the road, they still constrained him and urged him to stay with them. Now, Jesus wasn't being derogatory. In other words, he's saying, wake up. Wake up to all that you've been taught. And he referred to them as fools and slow of heart. And they still constrained him and urged him to stay with them. There was something most beautiful and most awesome of Jesus in his personality, was they still urged him to stay. And please turn with me. Here's something really good. John chapter 7, God bless. John chapter 7, verse 32, and then we're going to jump to verses 45 and 46. John chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 45. John chapter 7, in fact, I'm going to start at verse 32. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent the temple guards to arrest him, to arrest Jesus. Now I'm going to jump to verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him, Jesus? The officers said, never a man spake like this man. You see what happened here? The officers were sent to arrest Jesus. They hear him speak, and they forget to arrest him. Did you ever hear of such a thing? Now picture the police force today, whether it's in Belleville, New York City, wherever. You think they won't come back with the victim? These officers were sent to arrest Jesus by the temple guards. They come back, they said, where is he? All they could say was, never a man spoke like this man. They hear Jesus speak and they forget to arrest him. What was in Jesus' voice? What did it sound like if they forgot to arrest him? All they could say was, never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. This is the effect that Jesus had on people. Whatever Jesus touched was never the same again. And if you haven't been touched by Jesus this morning, ask him to touch your life. You will never be the same again, guaranteed. How many lives has Jesus touched that has never been the same, right up to current times? And check this out. Even the cross was redeemed because Jesus hung on it. Before Jesus was crucified, the cross was known as a symbol of criminality and hatred and shame. But since Jesus was crucified, the cross has become a symbol of love, forgiveness, compassion and mercy. Even the cross was redeemed because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. A line from the song that we sang this morning, there is none like you. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Isn't that the truth? He's indescribable. He is beyond any word in any dictionary in any language. There is not a language in this world that can do justice in describing Jesus. He remains undefined. As we sang this morning, he's more than amazing. He's more than wonderful. And as we read in the book of Revelation, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is who Emily has accepted into her life. For those of us who have accepted the Lord into our lives, we need to ask him, how much of him have we accepted? How much of him do we want in our lives? Someone once said that Jesus must be looking down and saying, I have so much to offer. Why do you take so little? When we first accepted Jesus into our lives, how much of him did we accept? How much of our lives did we yield to him? Are we yielding our mind to Jesus? Do we trust him with our worries? Are we yielding our will to him? Have we accepted the Lord to the point where we are giving him control of our lives? How much of Jesus do we want in our lives? We will only receive as much as we want of him. This morning we want to hunger and seek for so much more of this most awesome, indescribable, mind-boggling person of Jesus in our lives. No one, nothing, could ever compare or even come remotely close to him. In the song, I've Just Seen Jesus, the author speaking about meeting Jesus wrote, check this out, as if till now I've never lived. All that I've done before won't matter anymore. I've just seen Jesus and I'll never be the same again. That's what it's like when a person really meets Jesus. The last line of the song, Then Jesus Came, says, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. A person hasn't really lived until he or she has genuinely accepted Jesus into his or her life. This is true regardless of any wealth, position, or influence, or power the person may have. A person may have position of major leadership in government, whether in the courts, in Congress, or in the executive branch, but if he or she does not have Christ in her life, he or she is a loser. I don't care what position they have. They could be the most powerful man on earth. If they don't have Jesus, they're a loser. I'm sorry, they're a loser. With all their position and power, they still don't have what they are missing in life, these people that do have power and influence. Yet you can find a person from a poor location who has accepted the Lord into his or her life, and that person will have a smile on his face. That's because this person has found true happiness and satisfaction and a reason for living, having the Lord in his life. From the song, Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul, a line states, you'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord. Another line states, if you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. I want to repeat that. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. And we will never reach the point of having enough of the Lord in our lives. It is the understatement of all time, past, present, and future. They don't come like him. As Psalm 45 states, he overflows your heart. And again, you cannot contain him. No way. This morning, we want to know and understand much better the character and personality of Jesus. If a person has not genuinely accepted Jesus into his or her life, the Lord would be very happy if you did so this morning. We've got extra robes back there. Confess your sins. This is how you accept the Lord into your life. Confess your sins to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Tell him you believe he is the Son of God who was crucified so that your sins could be forgiven. Accept Jesus into your life and tell him that you are willing to serve him all the days of your life. For those who have been in the faith many years, such as myself, we want to recommit our lives to the Lord and still seek more and more of him into our lives. We want to know, possess, and confess the reality of Jesus Christ in our life. Be filled with him. the best thing that could ever happen to you is Jesus.